They say good things come to those who wait. Was that the longest you've been silent this week? I mean, did you hear that? You know, we've been going through this thing about being. And when we got back from sabbatical, I said, we need to be still, right? We need to be still and know that God is God. And then we've been going through for weeks now about being. And last week I gave us the idea that to be successful in life, what do we need to be, church? Test. Last thing I said in last week's sermon was we need to be connected to Jesus. And so we're going to unpack that a little further this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, I thank you for this time where we can focus on you. I thank you that sometimes things don't go the way we want it to go. And that can be difficult for us to understand that you do have a plan and a purpose for our life. God, that you want us to be close to you, to be intimate with you, to cry to you, to laugh with you, to run with you, and to be still with you. God, will you open our hearts and minds this morning that we would be able to understand the simple truths that you have provided for us through your word? Give us the desire to know you more. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you know I always ask questions, right? So here we go, right out the gate. And there are more. I should preface, if you're going to follow along, we're going to be in John chapter 15 this morning. So if you want to search for that book, it's, I think, the fourth. No, I know it's the fourth book of the New Testament. We'll be in the 15th chapter. But the questions I'm bringing this morning are difficult. How can we grow in our likeness to Christ? In other words, how can we develop the character qualities of Christ? You know, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the thank you. Please keep going. The patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and self-control. I mean, these need to be a part of our lives. So what does it take for someone to become a fruit-filled follower or disciple of Jesus Christ? How do we do it? I think I opened the sermon with the answer. We need to be connected to Jesus. And clearly, this is going to be a message that has volumes of opportunity to bring about change because, as is the custom here at Christ Little Taupahawken Church, there is a wasp flying around. And it is not going to distract me. Please don't let it distract you. So, what do we do when we're distracted? Here's the word picture. We pray, Lord, there's a wasp. I ask in the power of Jesus' name that he be gone, to let him light somewhere on a windowsill and never fly again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. We're connected to Jesus. We have that power and authority in Jesus' name, according to what we read in John 15. What did we read about? Well, we're going to read about it. We just sang about it. In John chapter 15, if you're there, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Would you agree Jesus' word picture here is pretty much self-explanatory? I mean, God the Father is the gardener. He is the one who tends to the vineyard. Why? To produce an abundant harvest. He doesn't want the wimpy small grapes. He wants the luscious grapes. And to do that, you have to tend the vine. Jesus is the vine, meaning he's the main trunk that runs along the trellis or climbs the arbor. And you and I are represented in the branches. We're the ones that are vines attached to the true vine that do what? They grow. They're connected. And if we are not connected, we don't grow. Yes? See, I think this is a familiar story, which we're going to call an account because Jesus actually talked to his disciples about this, walking out of the upper room, headed to the garden. He says, hey guys, look at the vines. Let me tell you a story. So that's where we are. We need to pay attention to the different types of branches and the amounts of fruit they produce, because the gardener tends to deal with them in different ways. I can see two ways that are kind of tough. In verse 2 we read, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be more fruitful. In verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And if we're not, if you're there, we can do nothing. There are branches that produce no fruit. Some produce more fruit. Others produce much fruit. So for a second, can I get up close and personal and ask the question, what branch would you say describes you? Don't worry, I asked myself that question. I'm not asking you anything that's beyond. Let me go just a little further. What kind of branch do you want to be, if you want to at all? If our lives are nothing like Christ, somewhat like Christ, or an image bearer of Christ, God deals with these in their own situation. There are values and levels. If we're bearing no fruit, either we're not attached to the vine at all, that produces dead, which harbors disease and yuck. That's one. Or our attachment to the vine has been constricted or choked back so that the Spirit of God is not getting into us. You know, if you pinch a vine, we should like open it up. Have you ever seen the flowers you get from the florist? And one of the heads gets pinched off, and that's the one that withers first. But I wonder if we would pick that up. Would it get the water in the vase for a couple more days? It may be that there's someone here who has no attachment to Christ for the simple reason you have never invited Him into your life to become your Savior. That you have allowed Him to become Lord of your life. He's your go-to guy and guide, I hope. I encourage you that if you're not connected to Jesus this morning, there's some urgent message for the branch that doesn't stay attached. And there is one in this world that wants to get us unattached. You know, the gardener is not opposed to taking that one away. Or as Jesus says in verse 6, if you're there, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into a fire and burned. This is a place we don't want to be. So some here may be attached to Christ. Yes. But you're experiencing a period of fruitlessness. You're just coasting along, blown and tossed. Something has choked the flow of God's Spirit in you, where we should be ignited and excited, right? There's only one thing I can think that'll interrupt the flow of the Holy Spirit in our life. Yeah, everybody's nodding. Sin! Those things that just make us miss the mark. They don't kill us, we just fall short. And then after a time, we just gray it over and say, And then it just becomes a way of life. We're dying. Something is blocking our fellowship with Christ. When we fall into the temptation of sin, we get caught up in the muck and mire that the world tends to offer. As a child of God, our Father doesn't cast us away. He lovingly picks us up. He puts us back on the trellis, brushes us off so we can get all the nutrients, in this case, His Spirit. Why? So we can become fruitful again. You may ask me, how does this happen? And I will tell you, it is through the loving act of God's discipline. So go ahead, ask me how you know. James, how do you know? And I will tell you, because the Bible tells me so. We're going to be in a lot of scripture here. I'm not making up stories. I'm just telling you what the man says through the men through the course of time. How many believe God's word is God's word? It's not Paul's, it's not James, it's not Timothy, it's God speaking to us, to you. He spoke to me all week and the week before that. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. If you're going to follow along, Hebrews 12, just go to the back of the Bible because it's easier to find from the back instead of the front. It's nine books from the back of the Bible, Hebrews. And then once you find Hebrews, keep your finger there because I'm going to take us to another book that's close. Or you can just track on your phone, or you can just sit there and take it in. I mean, the choice is completely up to you. Is everybody there at Hebrews 12? I'm going to read at verse 5. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son. And right there, pause for a second. That's where you put your name. Boy or girl, my son. James, listen, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as sons. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate. Not true sons and daughters at all. This is what God's word says. Moreover, more importantly than that, we have all had fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of the spirits and live? Explanation point. Our earthly fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for His good in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. For who? Are you there? For those who have been trained by it. Thank you, Jesus, for the stuff. Because we learn when we go through the stuff, and the more we make it through the stuff, the more we trust Him. Thank you. Maybe you're experiencing God's discipline right now. That's when you need to remember God loves you. He's training you to stay connected to Him. God, I can't go another step. And He goes, I know. I'll go with you. God only disciplines us to make us grow, or to draw us back to Himself, or, listen, to draw you to Himself. Right now, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, run to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is convicting you of something which has interrupted the fellowship with Jesus. Here's something to consider. Change! Confess it, whatever it is. Forsake it. I'm never going there again. I will not. I cannot. That's what choose the author. I will not. I cannot eat green eggs and ham. Dr. Seuss says it all the time. I will not. I cannot. I will not go there. Replace it. Renew your mind. Allow God to do the work. How does He accomplish the work? By pruning us. There's still some cutting away, but it's in love. Tough love. He loves us that much. In order to produce fruit, the gardener must cut away any growth that will stunt the production of fruit. Cut it away. Be done with it. Without pruning, the branches are going to have lots and lots of pretty green leafy stuff, but not so much fruit. Pruning is God removing from our lives the things that keep us from being all He created us to be. Glorifiers, obedient witnesses, children of God. But we'd rather walk around miserable, angry, bitter, lonely. The choice is yours. It's right here in God's word. I was going to begin the sermon with verses from Psalm 66. So now I'm going to encourage you to read Psalm 66 this week. If you're going to follow along right now, it's in the middle of the book. If you hold your Bible and just let it open to the middle, you'll probably be pretty close. If you're in Job, turn to the right. If you're in Proverbs, turn to the left. Psalm 66. I'm going to start at verse 9. Verses 9 through 12 reminds us, He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. And then the psalmist says, for you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through the fire and the water. But you, God, brought us to a place of abundance. Are you living life in want of anything? I'm the wealthiest man on the planet, and I got a little Cape Cod. I got old cars, and I am blessed beyond measure because I got Jesus living in me. It's not always a bad thing to feel as though we've been going through some fiery trial. It's not always necessarily that there is a major sin in our life that God is trying to cut off. Get this, He just wants to do some pruning. That's just, He wants to refine us, to teach us to trust less in ourselves and more in Him. And I will tell you, that doesn't come natural. That's hard. Why? Because there's a battle raging that we don't see. We don't see the arguments and wars in heaven. We don't see the little demons. What do? We pray that from boundary line to boundary line, from miles above and miles below, God, keep them away. Read Psalm 66 this week. I'm taking you to good food. We can take a lesson from James chapter 1. That's why I asked you if you're in Hebrews. Sorry, I didn't know there was, but did you keep your finger there at Hebrews? Because James is right before. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. These should be becoming familiar verses. Let me share what he says with you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Here's the instruction. Let perseverance finish its work. Why? So that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. I want for nothing except for you to accept Christ and to start living for Him and reflect it. That's what I want. I want you to be contagious. I want you to be infectious for Jesus. I don't want you to be distracted. Stay up here. At some point, to gain all God has in store for us, we got to give Him the permission to do the pruning. Thank you for your prayer, Sarah. That means letting go of everything in our life that hinders us so that God can remove those things to make room for the things that stimulate growth. Jesus is my fertilizer. God's my water. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us to what? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And when we do, what happens? All these things will be added unto you. Read Matthew 6 this week. You'll have the food, you'll have the clothing, you'll have the wealth, you'll have the health, you'll have everything will be given to you as well when we seek God first. We do that by being connected to His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, not just some guy I know. He is. I'm not the only one talking about the benefit of allowing God to do a work in your life. Listen to Paul's testimony, inspired by God in Philippians 3, about pruning. Philippians chapter 3, just write the references down. I know 7 is too many to carry through the week. One per day, one chapter, not more than 30 verses. You can do it. Philippians 3, 7 through 9 says, this is Paul, whatever were gains to me, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of, listen, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God based on faith. I'm just the messenger. This is God speaking to you, I hope. He goes on to say in verses 12 through 15, not that I've already obtained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, put your name there, James. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. In Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too, God will make clear to you. Do you have questions about God and Jesus and what to do? Ask Him. He'll reveal it to you. I'm giving you 7 scriptures. John 15, Hebrews, I got them written down. Hebrews 12, Psalm 66, James 1, Matthew 6, Philippians 3. There's one more. We'll get there. Did you write them all down? Because if you didn't see me after, I'll give you the list. But you need to get into God's Word so God's Word can get into you. Yes. In. Maybe we're in the B series. Now we'll go to the In series. Okay, so here's the last one. Add 1 Peter 1, 9 through 6 to everything we've just said. Peter says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of troubles. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you don't see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with something. If you're there, what are we filled with, child of God? An inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Do you take that gift for granted? Or are you walking in the strength and the power of Jesus living in you? Because of our salvation and faith in Jesus Christ, our life is different. Yes? I have a testimony. You can see me after. I'll tell you my life story. As faithful followers of Christ, there should be evidence of fruit. Jesus uses fruit as a word picture of Christ-like living. If Jesus were standing here right today, I can hear Him saying, if you want them to follow me, James, if you want them to follow me, show them the fruit. I try to. Some living a Christ-like life show themselves to be what? Loving, full of joy, peaceful, patient, kind, putting into practice goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just 9 fruit, not fruits. 9. 9. That's 6. 9. People are drawn to people with these character qualities. And that gives us, as children of God, the upper hand. It gives us an opportunity to witness as to how the Lord makes it possible for us to live this kind of life. Why are you so joyful? How can you have so much peace? Look what's happening. Well, let me tell you. Jesus. It's not that hard. And too often we say, oh, they're not ready to talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. And if they're not ready, then it's okay. When we're connected to Jesus, we are to be bearing fruit, more fruit. But what stands out to me in John 15 at verse 8, God wants us to bear much fruit. Granted, some fruit is good. But I want to bear much fruit. You know, let me confess. You don't have to ask me afterwards. I put myself at some fruit. That's my branch. I want to bear more fruit. I have a strong desire to bear much fruit. But I believe that's up to God. But I know I don't want to not bear fruit because then I'm dead. Spiritually speaking. Verse 8 says this. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You will be my churchgoer is not what he's looking for. You will be my good people is not what he's looking for. The kind of life that reflects Jesus well gives glory to our Heavenly Father. Amen. Jesus expected his followers to learn from him, to stay close to him, to follow him. And this is what he expects from his followers today. This wasn't then. This applies to now. So next week, be prepared. We're going to look at what it is to be a disciple. Father, I thank you for your word. I know you're pursuing us, Lord. I pray that I have gotten these people you have gathered here this morning's attention. And I pray now that you will do the work. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.